If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. And I'm going to just be brief tonight, I expect to give some hope tonight. There's this place spoken of in the Bible called heaven. I believe it's real. There's this place spoken of in the Bible called hell. I believe it's real. And every man, woman, boy, or girl that walks this earth is either going to go to heaven or hell.
Right.
And I say I believe it, but you know what? You believe it or not, it's still real.
That's right.
Those that believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, well, theirs, sins have been forgiven, they're delivered, and they're on their way to a place called heaven. If you read the Bible, what gave the folks the Bible the strength to go on, to hope many of them even be martyrs or to suffer imprisonments and beatings, and from the Old Testament on through. What kept them going was that hope of a place called heaven, where their God ruled and reigns for all eternity. Aren't you glad of the place called heaven?
Yeah.
Hebrews 11, chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now that baffles the scientists and the NASA guys out there. It's all got to have a start somewhere. They're looking for where the Big Bang came from. What was it? But listen, something had to be there forever. And rather than believe it was a particle of dust that may have exploded, I'd rather believe, and I firmly believe, because I've seen His handiwork. I've known Him through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the salvation. I know He's real. It's the Almighty God. Amen? He spoke it all into existence. Jump down, if you would, with me to verse number 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should have to receive for inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars in the sky, of the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. Let me say that again. Having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them. And were persuaded of them. And embraced them. Let me say it again. They embraced them. They seen them. They persuaded of them. They embraced them. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For He hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, that he had received the promises offered of him as his only begotten, up as his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall his seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. Verse 10, I believe, is what kept Abraham going, was the hope in the living God, the God that is eternal, without beginning and without end, and the place He lives in called heaven, and the city He's building for the saved. In verse 10, he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Father, I thank you, Lord. I pray tonight you use me to encourage the folks that are here, to stir their hearts tonight, Lord, and to stir that hope that they have that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. Our treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. We have your word on it, Father. We can trust in it 110%. It doesn't matter how dark the days, we still have the brightest of hope. So stir our hearts tonight. If there are any lost here, draw them tonight, Father, as only you can do. I ask in my Savior's most precious, wonderful name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Oh, listen to me. We've got more to look forward to than any other group of folks on this earth as Christians. We're just passing through. What is faith? Now you have the definition there in the scriptures of it in verse 1 through 3, but just let me give you a little something here. It is total dependence on God and a willingness to do His will. Faith is not something we use to put on a show for others. It is complete and humble obedience to God's will, readiness to do whatever He calls us to do, to go wherever He calls us. The thing about Abraham here was, he went into a city, he went out not knowing whither he went. He left his security, his everything he could trust in this world, behind. His family, other than Sarah, his family behind. All those who could have helped him in this world, so to speak. A place secure to live in, to go out and dwell in a tent, to not know where he was going. To just go out one day at a time. That's how we're to live our Christian lives. One day at a time. What's that song, One Day at a Time, Dear Jesus? Or Sweet Jesus? Just give me one day at a time. And that's what we're to do. You see, faith enabled Abraham. He believed in the God that he had spoken with. He believed in the God that had spoken to him. He believed in the Scriptures. He believed that as God promised him, he was going to go to a place called heaven. In verse 8 through verse 10 there, he read this. And verse 10, of course, verse 8, he should after receive an inheritance. He went out, not being given everything now, but promised if you'll go out, there is a blessing, an inheritance, a reward that will come in the end. And Abraham went out. He says, he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. How? By faith. He sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country. Listen, my friend, we are in a strange country. And this world's getting stranger by the day. The longer I live, the more wickeder it gets, the more uncomfortable I feel here. I feel like I don't fit, because I don't. I feel like I'm out of place, because I don't belong here. I got a place in heaven reserved for me. And that's what helped me in this world. It says they dwelt in tabernacles and with Isaac and Jacob. And then it says verse 10, for he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. Listen, we have promises that you and I can cling to. If we just go to the Scripture, you can find the full of them. Just let me give you a few of them tonight. In John chapter 14, and these are familiar passages to you, but sometimes if you don't really think on them and what they really promise you, they become just that, familiar but not sustaining. And they're supposed to sustain you. These words were spoken to make so your hearts wouldn't be troubled, so you would be comforted, so you would receive strength and confidence. In John 14, verse 1, he says to you and I, as a child of God, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God? Believe also in me. And look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. You are part of that you. Amen? I go to prepare a place for you. The I is Christ, and the you is the Christian, the believer, the child of God. And if I, Christ, go and prepare a place for you, the believer, I, Christ, will come again and receive you, the believer, unto myself, that where I, Christ, am, there ye, the believer, may be also. Isn't that wonderful? That's where a child of God goes. We will never be touched by a single flame from hell. We will see hell when it's cast into the lake of fire, and that's for all eternity then. We'll see the smoke ascending, but it will never touch us. We'll weep some tears over those we know that are there until God wipes those tears away, but we will never be touched by it. Listen, we don't understand what gratitude is yet until we get to heaven and see what we really were spared. And no wonder we're going to fall down and praise Him and sing His praises for all eternity. When we realize how much He forgives, when you see them books opened and see how much was blotted out of your life, how many pages and chapters were blotted out for no one to ever see, but you'll know what was there, won't you? And it's blotted out, I believe, by the blood of Christ. And over there in the Lamb's Book of Life is your name written. Oh, we'll realize gratitude then. I don't think we fully understand it now. The flesh just seems to inhibit us sometimes. We're almost like some of the welfare mentality. We almost expect certain things. And when you expect it and figure you're entitled to it, sometimes you forget to be grateful. Amen? And to appreciate it. We're going to a place called heaven. In Acts chapter 1, as our Lord ascended to heaven, there in verse number 9, and when He had spoken these things, while He beheld, He was taken up in a cloud and received out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as He went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen Him go into heaven." He's affirming what John 14, 1 through 3 said, "If I go, I will come again."
Right.
I don't know who those two men were. Were they angels? Were they perhaps two of the Old Testament prophets or saints? I don't know. But they sure were glad to hear the message. Doesn't it matter who they were that delivered the message? It matters who they're speaking of. I'm just a messenger. I'm not important. But the message from the One who's the Lord is. And it's wonderful to know that we've got it. Abraham was enabled by God. If you want to read about that foundation who's built it there, I'm not going to go through it tonight. But when you think about Abraham, and you think about them mansions, and you think about Him coming for you, you ought to go home and read Revelation 21 and 22. When you're down in the dumps, there's two chapters that pick you up. Tells you who the winner is. I like that message. I'm on God's team. Amen. He chose me and then I chose Him. Amen. He chose to die for me and I chose to believe Him. I was picked for His team. Amen. I'm a winning team. I can tell you the final score is God wins it all. Amen. The devil loses it all. You can read that. You ought to go and read that. But Abraham's enabled by this promise. The life of faith is a life of stepping out into the unknown. Listen, in Bible college, they teach you to get ready to pastor. They tell you what all is going to come your way. But when you get out in the ministry, you realize how much you did not prepare for. They do their best, but you don't know what to expect out there. Well, more than once I've said in my ministry, they didn't tell me about this in Bible college. They didn't teach me how to handle this one. Oh, listen. Missionaries, prepare for that culture shock. Prepare for where they're going overseas. Prepare to leave everything behind. But I'm telling them, when they get there, it's a life of faith. They realize, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, man, I wish I'd known about that. And it's day by day. If we knew it all at once, we'd really be scared. It's a day by day. Faith enabled Abraham to make an uncertain journey, not knowing where he was going, but knowing that God had called him and God was leading. Okay. Listen to me. If God puts a call on your life to go out of your comfort zone and to go speak to someone that you're uneasy about, or to go into full-time ministry or to follow Him in some area of your life, if He's called you, He will provide. Faith is He who calls you, who also will do it. All your responsibility is one day at a time by faith. When I surrendered to preach, I had no idea what all it really would entail. One day at a time. Had no idea I'd be 7 years in Bible college. And all that. You just don't know. It's a journey. Now, as we have Abraham and a whole chapter 11 there and a whole Bible full of examples, to see it and to know that heaven is promised for us. Faith enables us, when we realize who we belong to, how He purchased us, and where He's taken us. We belong to the Lord God Almighty. He purchased us with the precious blood of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot before the foundation of the world. And He's taken us to a place called heaven. That's what you've got to look forward to. So don't look around you and start to fret and doubt and fear. Lift up your heads. You're a child of the King. You're the bride of Christ. Men, you're the overcomers. You're the victorious ones. Faith will enable you and me to step out by faith as well into the unknown. Verse 13 through 16 there in Hebrews 11. Verse 13 through 16. Back in Hebrews again, chapter 11. Verses 13 through 16. There He's all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. How did they see Him? Did they have some crystal ball to look into the future with and actually see an image? Were they able to go out into space like they think they can now and look forward or backward in time? They're looking, they think now they can go back in time and find some things out. Science, falsely so called. Amen. To profess themselves to be wise, they became as fools. Listen, how they see Him? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. They saw it by faith. They saw it by hope. Amen? They believed the God that spoke to them. And so they looked, they received it afar off, and persuaded of them. If that's the God of heaven, then who else could have been but that? And if that place is real, I'm going to live like I'm going there. I'm going to follow Him by faith. Faith's never easy, but faith's always rewarding. Faith is always an adventure. Faith is the unknown. But boy, I tell you, at the end when it's known, the shouting begins. And embraced them. They didn't. They were glad. Abraham was glad that God called him out of his family to go to that country because he knew it was where God was going to be. He was glad. He embraced it. He rejoiced in it. He didn't say, "Oh, why me? Why couldn't he pick somebody else? Why couldn't he pick my brother Aaron? Why couldn't he pick this one or that one? Why couldn't he pick who so and so? Why do he have to pick me? I don't like going where I don't know. I don't like wandering out into the wilderness. I don't like living in tents. I don't like his stuff." I think of James holding that scorpion up on the internet over there in Africa. A lot of people say, "Ooh, I don't like scorpions." Well, God will give you the grace if He calls you there. Man, He'll give you the grace. Our God is a great God. They embraced it. And they confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims. They didn't try and fit in. They were glad to stand out. They didn't try and fit into the world and blend in with the world and not have to worry about the world thought. They were glad to stand up and be counted because they knew the promise they had. I think Christians try and fit in because sometimes they don't realize who they really belong to. They don't realize they're royalty, a child of the King. They're meant to stand out. Amen? They're meant to stand out. It is faith that assures us that God's calling is secure. For my God always has and always will keep His word. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 17 through 19a, wherein God, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability, that means the unchangeable, of His counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable, two unchangeable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we have a strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Listen, what's that hope? It's in the place called heaven. That it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's in the blood that He shed. It's in that our sins are forgiven. It's in that we are pardoned. It's in that this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. I've got a mansion just over the hilltop. Amen? I'm satisfied with the cottage below. But over yonder, I'm looking for a mansion. Amen? Oh, listen, my friend. 1 Thessalonians 5:24, I quoted to you earlier. Faith fills he that calleth you, who also will do it. Oftentimes, we look at these men in the Bible, and we forget they were real people. We forget to put ourselves in their place and think, what was it like for Daniel to be a captive there by Nebuchadnezzar? What was it like for Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego to face that fiery furnace? What was it like for Moses to go in before the Pharaoh? These were real men with real flesh and real emotions, just like you. Elijah was a man sort of like passion as we are. You prayed that it might not rain, and it rained not for the space of 3.5 years. What was it like to be those men? And then that's to give you hope that you can identify with great men of faith like Abraham. How good to know that not only Abraham and those that are mentioned, but think of the countless untold others that are not mentioned in Scriptures, but still known of God. I think of Elijah when he wouldn't bow the knee to Baal. God said, Elijah, don't get so proud. I got 7,000 more that I ain't writing about, but they ain't bowed the knee to Baal. I ain't going to name them necessarily, but when they get to heaven, they'll get the reward just like you will. They didn't bow the knee either.
Right.
I'm just using you as my leader, as the one that I'm using as an example, Elijah. But there are 7,000 more that haven't bowed the knee. Amen? Pride tries to get in the way. And so we look and we realize, hey, listen, not all of us can be in the limelight. There's a lot more in the shadows than there ever is in the limelight. There's a lot more making things happen than there ever is standing up front promoting everything. There's the unknowns. And when we get to heaven, there's going to be some unknown names. They're going to get some great rewards to be known in heaven. And it's good for us to know that as these men looked ahead and lived, and women, and even children looked ahead and lived, they died assured that the promises would yet be theirs. They still remain unknown to us. We've never read about them. We wouldn't know who their names are. But they're not unknown to God. And in heaven, they're not unknown this morning, or this evening. Faith enables us as believers. Faith enables each of us to count on God's promises. Because of faith, I like what verse 16 says here in Hebrews 11. Because of faith, it says, but they now desire a better country, that is a heavenly. Wherefore, listen to this, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for we have prepared for them a city. God knows all about you, and He's not ashamed to call you His. That's why Romans 10 verse 11, all they that believe shall not be ashamed. Amen? We ought not be ashamed of Him either. Amen? Right. We ought to stand up and acknowledge our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that we belong to God the Father because of God the Son, and we're filled with God the Holy Spirit, and we ought to rejoice. We ought to embrace. We ought to look for that city He's preparing for us.
Right.
Amen? He's preparing it for us. Faith is important in Abraham's life, and it is in ours. Each step of faith leads to a victory and another step of faith. Isn't that wonderful? Each step gives you a victory, but each step also leads you to the next step by faith. Abraham started his journey out into that wilderness one step at a time. One day. Then that day, though, well, praise God, I'll be able to follow him this far. And I hope I can follow him tomorrow. And then the next day, he finished his journey. Said, praise God, I followed him to death. Oh, if we do fail, thank God, He is faithful enough to give us our sins and forgive us of all unrighteousness. Amen? And He'll help us get back on that track again and follow Him by faith. In verses 17 through 19, Abraham was called even to offer up his own son on the altar. That would be different. The only son he had, he waited 100 years to have that son. And then have God ask him to sacrifice him. That took faith. And he was ready to plunge that knife through him, believing that God could raise him from the dead if need be. Because he figured at 99 years old, when Sarah got pregnant, that was raising him from the dead. He was 99 and Sarah was 89. That's pretty much dead. Right? And yet God was able. God could raise up his son, even if he was dead. I think of what our Lord said about faith in the New Testament. Listen to how powerful faith is when you believe in the right stuff. In Luke 17, verse 6, He said, "If ye had faith as the grain of a mustard seed," it's the smallest of seeds, "you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you." Wow. A mustard seed is one of the smallest of seeds, but it is alive when it's planted and it is growing. It comes back to life. Like a tiny seed, like that seed of a mustard seed, a small amount of genuine faith in God will take root and grow. Almost invisible at first, it will begin to spread. First under the ground. And then finally, up pops the first part of it. And it's visible. Although each change will be gradual, soon this faith will have produced major results. You see, if you stand there and watch it all day long, you won't notice the changes. But when you are not there and come back a week later or a month later, you think, "Hey, look how much it's grown." That's how our lives are. Listen, if you look today and you look ahead trying to figure it all out and watch today, it just seems like it's not growing. But you look back at where you've come from and you think, "Wow, look what God's done. Look what faith has done." Oh, listen. Although each change is gradual, soon as faith produces major results, they will uproot and destroy competing loyalties. A tiny seed of faith is enough to do great things. If it's alive and growing. What does our Lord think about those that don't get this message? Those that don't look for heaven excited, that aren't willing to follow Him by faith day by day and leave everything He calls them behind and just follow Him. What do you think about that? In Hebrews 10, verse 38, He says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." If you're not willing to follow God, God has no pleasure in you. You draw nigh unto God, He'll draw nigh unto you, and you'll see His pleasure. Amen? In Matthew 6, verse 30, our Lord is talking to them, and here He's talking about how God takes care of them. He's talking about God to clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven. Shall He not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? We're not only clothed, we've got clods, we can't even fit them all in our closets. We've been clothed pretty good, haven't we? And especially, we've been clothed in His righteousness. Amen? A robe of righteousness. In Matthew 8, 26, He said, "Why are you fearful, O ye of little faith?" This is when He's on the storm in the sea. "Then He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm." In the storms of life, that's not when your faith should doubt. That's when your faith should grow. That's when you look at that city and think, "It doesn't matter if I perish in the storm. That's okay. I'm going to a city called heaven." Doesn't matter how I go out, but once I'm out, I know where I'll be. Matthew 14, verse 31. "And immediately Jesus stretched forth His hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" This is Peter walking on the water. Peter, listen, it took faith to step out. But sometimes you step out by faith and then you start to think, "What have I done? Oh my soul, if I'd have realized this, I never would have stepped out of the boat. Should have thought it through first." That's not faith. Faith is following. Counting the cost, but following. And He says, "Wherefore, O ye of little faith, why are you fearful, ye of little faith?" God says, "Why to you?" Perfect love does what? Casteth out fear. God's in control. And if He chooses to use you for the glory of Christ, to have you go out in some way that you may not have picked for yourself, you follow Him by faith. Right. Matthew 16, verse 8, when Jesus perceived, He said to them, "O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because you have brought no bread?" He's out there and He's talking about the bread and they're thinking, "Uh-oh, we didn't bring Him any bread. Enough bread for..." Don't you remember when I fed the 4,000, the 5,000, and I kept wanting children? What's the matter with you? When I said beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, what's the matter with you? Oh, ye of little faith. And you see, when we stumble and we doubt, can you hear Him in heaven saying, Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye, why are you fearful? Why do you doubt me? Don't you believe what I wrote in my word? This morning, why have you not believed me? I've spoken the truth. Why not? Why not? 1 Thessalonians 4, 13-18. I'm just about done, folks. You know these verses. It speaks of the rapture. But I want you to look at verse 13. I want you to look especially at the end of that middle of that verse there, or the end of that verse. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. Listen, we sympathize with those that are being killed for being Christians around the world right now. They're going through some horrific things. They're being raped, beaten, abused, tortured, and killed in ungodly ways. But you know what? Everyone that's already passed through that valley, as we read in Psalm 23, they're now in heaven. And now they're looking back thinking, perhaps singing the song, not it will be. They might be singing, it was worth it all when I saw Jesus. They're singing it in past tense. Amen? We're still singing it in future tense. It'd be worth it all when I see Jesus. When we see Jesus. Why? He said that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. I'm looking forward to a reunion in heaven, aren't you? I got some dear loved ones that have already gone on, some friends that are already over there, some preachers that are already over there. Oh, I want to see Him again. I want to see Jesus. I want to look around and make sure my family's there and my grandchildren and all my friends. For this is saying to you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain in the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord Himself doesn't say may, doesn't say might, it says shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and on the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. You get those shells? They're promises. He told them when He died, He would rise again. When they came looking for Him, He said, He is risen as He said. Oh, listen, we ought to be looking for it because He said so. We ought to be excited about it. We ought not be fearing. We ought to be testifying. We ought to be reaching souls. We ought to be standing out. We ought to be, like I said this morning, soul winning, separated, growing for the Lord. We're going to heaven. Hallelujah. Devil tries to intimidate you. Grab you a squirt gun and charge hell. Try and rescue some soul before they step into it. Amen? Oh, listen. And it says this in verse 18. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Oh, it's so wonderful that if someone passes away and they were a child of God, you can say to the family, yeah, but you know it's what in the end. You know the Lord. They know the Lord. You're going to meet again. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, listen. By faith, we can, like Abraham, trust God in the unknown and uncertainty of our lives, as long as it is God who has called us to do so. Your job is to discern the calling of God. Amen? And then follow it. And you have the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to do that in prayer. When we view Him as totally trustworthy, even the most difficult steps of obedience are possible. Two words describe faith. Hebrews 6, verse 19a. Which have fled to Him by hope set before us, which hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful to know that. These two qualities, these two things that we should do as Christians, need to have an anchor at the beginning and the end. They need to be secure. The beginning point of faith is believing in God's character, that He is who He says He is. The end point is believing in God's promises. He will do what He said He would. When we believe that God who fulfills promises, even though we don't see those promises materializing yet, we demonstrate that we see them by faith. Amen? And I just want to encourage you with that. I did go. Listen, Abraham, he looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are you looking for that city? Are you living for that city? Are you living by faith? Oh, my friend, maybe God's called you to something and you've been uneasy about stepping out in that. Tonight be a good night to come by faith at an altar and say, God, yeah, I heard you. And I'm going to follow you. And step out by faith. Perhaps some young person, God's got a calling in your life and you already know what God's calling you to do. You simply say, Father God, if that's what you want, if that's where you lead me, I will follow. Perhaps some adult. You're never too old if God calls you. Because if He calls you, He will enable you. And if God's got a calling on you, whether it's to go across the street or around the world, you come and you kneel and say, God, I know what you're saying. I heard you. I believe you. And I'm going to a place called heaven to see you soon. And I'm going to follow you. That's all He asks. That's all He asks. Is faith. Faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. But with faith, you'll please Him time and time again. Think about it when He said to the devil, when as he came in those presence, and said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" Why could He say that? Because Job was a faithful man. He had great faith. And even in all the tragedies that Job experienced, he never lost faith. He got some discouragement from his friends, but he never lost faith. He knew God was in control. My friend, will you trust God tonight? If you've never been saved, will you trust Him for your soul? If you've been saved, will you trust Him with your life now? Will you live for Him? Father, have your way in the invitation, Lord. Speak to hearts, Lord. As you call folks, they will know that you're calling them. They will be given that evidence from you and your Holy Spirit and your Word. And all they need to do is step out by faith. And maybe tonight at the altar, there'll be some folks kneeling here saying, Lord, I'll follow you. Perhaps some don't even know for sure where it's going to lead, but they're willing to come and say, Lord, wherever you lead me, whatever you call from me, Lord, I will do it. I believe you. And you're taking me to a place called heaven. And I'm so grateful. My faith in you, I want it to be evident. I will follow you. Whatever, wherever I go, whatever you ask of me. Father, speak to hearts. I ask in my Savior's name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Friend, if this message has been a blessing to you, or if we can help you in any way, please contact us at the Antrim Faith Baptist Church, P.O. Box 129, Zellinger, PA 17272. Or if you're in Waynesboro, Pennsylvania, visit us at our church, 248 West 2nd Street, Waynesboro, PA 17268, at the lower level of the Renaissance Building. We'd love to have you stop in with us. If you'd like to email me, it's Pastor Herb, PASTORHERB, at Embark, EMBARQ, mail, MAIL.com. Thank you very much for listening. Lord bless you, and have a great day.